All right, James chapter number 5, thank you very much for taking the time to go right to the study this afternoon, and we appreciate that very much this morning. Sure love you, and I'm so proud of the work that you're doing, and all of us need to be more conscientious, more diligent, realizing that the time is short, the stakes are high, the struggle is real, eternity's long, life is short, hell is hot, heaven's wonderful, and we need to really work hard while we have the opportunity to do it. Just like Jesus said, night is coming when no man can work. Night's coming for me, it's coming for you. It's coming for those we love, and it's coming for those who do not yet know the gospel. And it should, I stood on Sunday afternoon in a room with Brother Joe Pete and his extended family and friends that came to mourn the loss of a loved one. And my heart was really broken, and so was his. Just as the lostness of the people, trying to drown out their sorrow at a bar and alcohol, and trying to figure out how to deal with the pain. And I'm so glad there is hope. I'm glad there's help in the person of Jesus, and they need the light of the gospel. James chapter 5, we've been studying that this semester especially. Of course, James, the topic or the theme of the book of James is maturity. It's time to grow up. And James is writing to Jewish believers primarily, who are members of his church in Jerusalem, who are now been scattered abroad by virtue of persecution or other reasons. They now no longer live in Jerusalem, but they're going through difficult times, and it's not an easy being them. And he just tells them, it's time to grow up. It's time to be mature. You can't take this as a whiny baby. One of the things that I grieve about thinking about Cain in the Bible, my punishment is more than I can bear. You know, why don't you accept my sacrifice? Just a whiny baby. I love Jacob, and Jacob, of course, is probably more like us than we want to imagine. And he was a guy who was really blessed, and yet he was a crybaby. He had a spiritual nature. We thank God for that, opposite of Esau. But he was a whiner. You know, whenever his son, Joseph, brought him all the way out of where he was over to Egypt and put him in a beautiful place and set up a time to talk to Pharaoh. And here he now had his dream. 70 of his descendants are right there in a beautiful place right outside of Cairo, if you will, and a great place for them to be given. And Joseph is the prime minister of Egypt, his son, his youngest son. He thought he was dead. Now he's alive. He's been picked up by wagons and brought into Egypt. He's been given so much. They were going to starve to death out there, and God brought him into Egypt. All the things he could have said when he met Pharaoh. When Joseph introduced his dad to Pharaoh, he could have said, "Boy, it's so good to meet you, sir. Thank you for your kindness. God has blessed me so much. I'm so proud of our son Joseph, and I'm thankful how God has led us and used you to provide." That would have been a wonderful testimony. But instead, he gets in front of an unsaved Pharaoh and says, "My days have been so hard. It's been rough. Long and arduous have been my..." I'm thinking, come on, Jacob. You can get up there and tell him how good God is. Instead, you just talk about yourself, how hard it is to be you. What a pathetic example. Young people, we have everything to thank God for. We have very little things to complain about, and we should not be whiners. But he says, look, don't whine, but grow up. Grow up. Let the problems of life grow you. Let your love for the Bible grow you in chapter 1. Let your faith become works. If you say you believe something, then put it into practice and show your faith by your works. That's how you'll grow. Not by believing something, but by doing what you believe. Let your faith turn into works. He said, then you want to make sure that you control your tongue. Be careful what you say. That's how you'll know you're growing to maturity, whenever you refrain. It's not what you say in moments of frustration negatively that you should be proud about. It's what you refrain from saying you should be thankful for. Be careful. Seek heavenly wisdom. You show your maturity by learning to submit. Anybody can be a clown. Anybody can be rebellious. But if you want to be a mature Christian, you got to learn to submit to God-given authorities. This is one reason why we have interpersonal problems, because we're too strong. We're not strong enough to submit to God and authority. It's why we're worldly from the adulterers and adulteresses, because you don't want to submit. We know what we should do. Instead of asking what's right about something, we ask, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? We really ought to ask, is this what God wants me to do? And submit to whatever we know God wants us to do. Take the high road for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find that maturity is shown by how we see life. Life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. He said, boy, know the brevity of life. That shows that you're mature. And then chapter 5, it speaks about our substance, how we look at finances. We'll read that and just review that briefly and then go on to the next thing in verse number 7. Look at verse number 1, would you please? Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that's going to come upon you. Said he, those of us who have more than we need, that's what a rich person is in the Bible, not someone who's just has so much money they can't move around their living room. It's somebody who has got more than we need. We are good. We're in that group. He said, be careful when you stand before God, because you might weep and howl. Why would you weep and howl? He gives 4 reasons why. Number 1, because you kept more than you should have kept. You saved too much. You had too many clothes in your closet, and you should have taken some out and shared it with somebody else. You had too much money in savings. You should have taken some of that money and put it into circulation for the kingdom of God. You're going to weep and howl when you die, and you die leaving money that could have been used for the kingdom of God. That's what he says. He says, the Lord's going to bring it out as a witness against you. And he said that's going to be a bad day for you when you stand for God. You're not going to go to hell. He's writing to Christian people. He's just talking about your works that are be rewarded, and works, you're responsible for the deeds done while in your body. He said, be careful about that. He said, also, if you're not careful, you'll not be honest, because you have a little deeper pocket than somebody else, and you owe someone something and you don't pay them. And then their wife and their kids are going through a difficult time because dad doesn't have the money they need, and it's in your pocket and you owe it to them. He said, don't use your wealth as an excuse why you can let someone else wait on something. He said, if you've got something in your hand to give to someone, then we'll honor them. Take care of it. Don't hold it back. Well, I might need this later. I don't want to pay that because I might need it later. No, you need to give it to who it belongs to. Another thing is you'll just live for pleasure. Look, if you would please, at the verse of Scripture there. Verse number 5, you have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanted and nourished your own hearts as in the day of what? Slaughter. I think I might have shared this with you, but our son Coleman worked for 9.5 years in Wyoming on a rancher. And they would load up the trailer in the spring and get those or in the summer after the summer and load them up in fall and take them to they'd sell them to the people who are going to take them and make food out of them. But before they take them off the farm, off the ranch, they take them to a feedlot and they give them all the food they can eat. They just keep putting food into the bin, and those cows that have been running the hills of and the mountains and the pastures of Wyoming, all they do is just sit there and eat and eat and eat. Do you know why they keep eating and eating and eating? They just eat until they die. They get fattened up just to die and be slaughtered. He said, that's sometimes what we do. We see finances and we're not a funnel. We think we're a bucket. And we don't understand why God gave us things, and it's to give. Not just to fill one person, just us, but to learn to say, God, how would you like to use my life? The things you're giving me, how can I share it? By the way, that's when you really learn to grow, is when you start giving out. For 32 years of my life, I listened to hundreds and thousands of messages, and I didn't know Bible doctrine the way I should have known it. I was a concordance cripple. I mean, if you asked me to give me 3 verses on eternal security, I would say, let me get my Bible. I'll look up and see if I can find those verses real quick. I didn't know them off the top of my head. You know what changed that? Teaching discipleship. Whoever does the teaching does the learning. Boy, learn to give out. You learn to give out, God gives more. Give and it shall be. I think the more you give out the Word of God, the more Word of God gives you. Whatever it is, give and it shall be given to you. If you want to give a grudge to somebody, listen, grudges are going to come back to you. You want to be harsh with people, whatever it is you give, it's going to come back around. There's one law that you and I cannot break, and that's the law of sowing and reaping. You sow the flesh, you have the flesh reap corruption. You sow the spirit, but in the same way with giving. You say, Pastor, I want to have finances. Well, you better learn to give finances. Whatever it is, give and it shall be given to you. Whatever you give, you're going to get back to you. You're rude with people, you're going to have someone be rude with you. That's just the way it is. Whatever it is that you want, you learn to give and God's going to give it back to you. That's the way it happens. Don't just fill yourself for one. And then another thing is that we subdue other people. Oftentimes, when the Bible's clear, in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 7, the Bible says, the rich ruleth over the what? Poor. And the borrower becomes a servant to the lender. And it's just whoever the rich are, they make the rules. And they oftentimes subdue people. And if you have a little bit more money, oftentimes you'll find yourself a tad bit more confident and cocky. And you need to be careful that you do not look down upon people who don't have what you have. It's very easy to make judgments of people based upon their economic background or their situation. And we think, oh man, I tell you, that guy's lazy, man. I worked hard. Really, if you didn't have the grace of God, you couldn't even put one foot in front of another. You wouldn't have a job. You wouldn't have income. We're going to judge people. Be careful, but you don't subdue others because of that. So those are just basic principles on finance. But the main thing in the next section that we're talking about is being steadfast. One of the things I've shared with you in recent days, and I'll probably share it again, one of your biggest struggles of your Christian life is to keep going faithfully and not quitting. It's a challenge. It's a challenge when you're 57. It's a challenge when you're 17. And some of you right now, I don't know who you are, and I hope it's not very many, but you got quitting on the brain. One of the things that in Hebrews chapter 12 that is challenging God's people, he says, look, consider Jesus. Consider him. What's the next word? Anyone know what the next word? Who? Endured. He went through difficult times, such contradiction of sinners. It didn't even make sense how much they hurt him and why they wanted to hurt him so bad. So think about what he went through. Who endures such contradiction of sinners, lest you and I be weary and faint in our own what? Minds. See, people quit here before they quit their bus route. They quit here before they quit college. They quit here before they stop reading their Bible. It's a quitting that goes on between the ears. And he says here, James is saying, listen, I want to talk to you about staying with it. Maturity helps you keep going. If you can see the big picture. Little kids, if you've ever had them play in a thing, they have very short attention spans. If you're building something. I was recently with some little children working on something, and we're reading a book, and halfway through the book, they go, okay, that's good, thank you. You know, they want to go do something else. Like, man, we haven't got to the end yet. But they don't have a good attention span. And if they get used to quitting, I was doing a little, my grandnephew's there in Benin, and we had one evening, and they had a little soccer ball, and so I set up two little goals, And I said, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this right here in this beautiful arena here in Benin, West Africa. And I began to name out my nephews. And Azariah stands at about 2 feet, 4 inches tall. He's got this soccer ball on the leg that's unbelievable, and he's going to fire it in just a few moments. Ladies and gentlemen, would you watch? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. And boy, he would kick that ball. And his little brother over here, Asher, was watching him, and I'd do the same thing for Asher, and he missed it, and I want to go inside. No, get out here, Asher. You got to keep playing. Come on now. Keep playing. Well, you get obstacles. Something doesn't happen the way you want, and you're like, I want to quit. He said, there's something about continuing. Children quit. But as you get mature, you understand, okay, it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, not a game. Not something you want to transition out, something you need to transform through. And it's going to be your challenge. It'll be my challenge. say, Pastor, you're 57. You've been a pastor for 24 years, almost 25 years. Yes. But boy, in discouraging moments, sometimes you get those thoughts. It's just you're messing up. You're not doing a good job. Boy, someone else could do better than you. You might as well just forget it. Say, Pastor, you get those thoughts? Oh, absolutely. Anybody who's honest with you tells you sometimes it gets dark, it gets hard. What you got to do, you got to keep going. And that's what James is going to tell the people here. Let's look at verse 7. Can we look at that, please? Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. By the way, one of the motivations we have is future events. What are we waiting for right now? Coming of the Lord. Some of you said lunch, but we're going to go there later, okay? Yeah. He said, I want you to keep working, keep going, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. When do we stop? When either we see him or he comes and gets us. That's when we stop. And the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. And by the way, for you and I, that's souls. That he hath long patience for it until you receive the early and the latter rain. Now here's the admonition, verse number 8. Read it with me, everyone out loud, would you please? Be ye... Now verse number 9, everybody, grudge not. Here James is saying, look, here's how we're going to grow into maturity. Here's how you're going to show your maturity, and that is your willingness and your ability to keep going when you want to quit. To keep going, to be patient and don't stop. He references a farmer who planted and he got that early rain. And it started to germinate those seeds and it started to grow. The fruit of the earth began to grow. But then it's days and sometimes weeks where there's no rain. And he's praying and he's anticipating a latter rain, a rain that will hit those plants, hit that soil, and cause that thing to grow again. And in the meantime, nothing's growing. Nothing's happening. It's staying faithful when things are going wrong, when things are dormant. Those of you who are sophomores, in your second semester of your sophomore year or first semester of your junior year, you're way too far from being in the beginning to be excited. And you're too far from the end to be excited. You know what you are? You're in between that excitement of starting your college career and that excitement of taking your degree on that May day and making your way into ministry. You're in that middle time where you're waiting for rain. You're waiting for the blessing. Some of you on bus routes, you've done that. You've gone through these summer, winter months, and it's been sad. You're praying, God, give me a soul. Give me somebody. Help me to disciple somebody. And it seems like it's just barren. You know what you're going to do? You got to keep on going. Let's not be weary in well-doing. We'll reap if we don't quit. If we don't faint. Many of you, sometimes you have a relationship and then you feel like it's going good and then it doesn't go good. Relationships take these little dips too sometimes. There are sometimes in 35 years of marriage, it's just been so, so sweet. Sometimes it's always been blessed, but it's not been as easy. Been some difficult times. And many divorces take place in the valleys of marriage. And that's not a time to stop. It's a time to plow through. But it shows your maturity. James says, I want you to be patient. And the word patient doesn't mean just to sit and twiddle your thumbs until something happens. Patience is something, it's a strength that you develop to keep going even though things are not going well. It's challenging. In that first book of the first chapter of James, you might remember this. I think you can quote it for me, where the Bible tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. Patience just so I can sit and wait? No. So I can have strength to keep going. Your challenges, no pain, no gain. Get the patience to keep going. He said, be patient. Keep on going until the coming of the Lord, until either you see Jesus or Jesus comes to get you. By the way, everybody needs to decide, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be faithful until he comes. I'm not going to quit. If you got quit on your mind, let me just encourage you. You can blame the school, you can blame the bus captain, you can blame the faculty and staff, you can blame me, and I certainly would deserve some of the blame. You can blame anybody you want to, but the truth of the matter is, people have gone through worse things than you've got, and they've kept on going. And when you keep on going, there's a blessedness that comes. I'll continue this thought on another chapel because our time is up, but I want you to look at a word real quickly. And in this same passage of the passage that we're looking at, let's look at verse 11, would you please? Behold, we count them what? Which did what? Endure. He said, you know who the happy people are? Happy people have enough patience, enough fortitude to keep going when they want to quit. You know who the happy people are in a race? The people who finish it. Let's look at another verse and we'll conclude with this. Chapter 1, verse number 12. Take your Bibles there. James chapter 1, verse number 12. Anybody have an idea what the word blessed means? What's a blessed mean? Like, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Understand? What do you think that means? Anybody? Yes, sir. TJ. We'll be blessed. Yes, sir. Greg. Happy. Yes, sir. Have God's favor. And certainly all of those, they'll be a blessed people. They'll be a happy people. They'll be favored by the Lord. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 12. Everybody read it, and we'll conclude our chapel that way. You ready? Starts off with what word? Here we go. Ready? Blessed is the man. Okay. And by the way, it's when we see the Lord that we'll have that reward. But blessed is a man that endures what? Trials, difficulties, and doesn't quit. And I don't know who you are, and maybe there's nobody here. But if quitting's between your ears, you need to have a little come to Jesus meeting and say, Lord, please forgive me. I want to be blessed. Happy are they that endure trials and go through. I want to be a happy person. You know, people are not happy in divorce courts. People are not happy when they years have gone live and they've been having their kids on the weekends. That's not the happy people. The happy people are some people who learn when the going gets rough, the tough keep going. Not in our own strength, but in the strength that God gives us. Let's not be weary in well-doing. Be steadfast, unmovable, always. Keep going. Steadfastness is one of your key attributes for mature Christians. Any little kid can quit, get discouraged, and walk off the field. Any little kid can go halfway through the book and say, ah, I'm done. And they won't finish the whole story. You want to finish your whole story. You want to be at the end of life saying, I'm glad I did, not I wish I would have. And James is trying to remind us of that. Let's pray together. Today, I'm going to ask you today, if you would please, let's stand together. I want you to ask the Lord to help you to sustain and keep on going. But I also would like for you to come today, consider coming or kneeling at your seat and pray for laborers. Would you do that? I'm burdened by that this morning. You can probably tell by just listening to me. Let's ask God to give us strength to keep going. Then let's ask God for more laborers, more young people, more married adults, people that would serve the Lord. Is there an empty seat near you today? Why don't you ask God to put someone in an empty seat? You don't have to just pray for Hiles Anderson. You could pray for another great college, or the Crown College of the Bible, or Golden State, or West Coast, or Heartland, or Vision, Bible Institutes all over the country. I don't care. It's not about us. It's about God's kingdom. Young man, young lady, there's someone hoping you will not quit. There's a Sunday school class. There's a youth group. There's a church that needs a pastor. There's a pastor that needs a pastor's wife that is just genuinely all in. There's a missionary that needs a precious wife to encourage him and won't be prone to say, honey, let's just go home. They'll say, don't you bring me across the country, across the world, and we're not going to quit, honey. We're going to keep going. Ask God for patience to continue. Ask God for people to enlist in the Lord's work. How many are praying for that right now? Would you raise your hand if you're praying for that? Good. Do that. Lord, I thank you very much for the privilege to be in chapel today. I thank you, Lord, for very attentive young people, and I thank you for the cause of Christ. Help us to be patient, and then I pray you'd bring more people to serve in your vineyard, in your harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.